You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I just got a strange email, and I had Paulie investigate the email because it made it sound like this show won a sports Emmy. And I said, Paulie, what am I missing here? It said, congratulations. And I said, here, would you follow up with this email? We've been nominated 4 years in a row for a sports Emmy, and we've lost. Well, we haven't won. It's not that we lost. We didn't win. And, Paulie, what did you find out about this email of us with the Sports Emmy?
So it was a real email from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the Sports Emmy division. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you win a Sports Emmy, from what I'm told, because I don't have one, anyone who works on that show is eligible to get the actual trophy. You're always a winner, but you could buy the trophy. And it costs some money, but, like, if you worked at ESPN, they might buy it for you, NBC. Yeah. Your bosses may buy it for you, or you could buy it for yourself. Everyone knows that. Well, you can buy the nominee certificate or plaque for being a sports Emmy. The National Academy of Arts and Sciences presents Paul Pabst, producer of the Dan Patrick Show, nominee for the 2017, 18, 19, 20, and so on. Any of the four of us could buy it, or anyone who works on the show, or you, Dan, could buy it. Mm-hmm. It's either a certificate or a framed plaque. Yeah, it looks very regal.
But why do I want something to remind me of not winning the Sports Emmy?
Or the accomplishment of being nominated.
Mm. Right, see, that's the way that I would take that, being someone who's never won an Emmy either. Be like, wow, look at this, we were nominated four times, this is pretty awesome.
You could have four of them on your wall, and that, our walls, speaking for the Danettes, have lots of room.
Yeah. Well, I don't have much room here in the man cave.
For any more Emmys?
No.
You're already tapped out.
Well, I have room for Emmys. I just don't have room for plaques. I don't want a plaque. Do you guys want plaques?
I think for someone like you, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think for someone like me, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'd rather have the Emmy, but the nominee thing is pretty cool.
Paulie, how much do the plaques go for?
Well, there are four options for the nominee certificate.
Okay.
$45 for just the piece of paper. Remember Drew Brees when he broke the passing record?
Yeah.
The NFL gave him that piece of paper?
Yes.
He seemed happy with it.
Yeah.
A frame certificate, $195. A nominee plaque, which is looks like kind of an oak and gold.
Yeah.
$295. And then the nominee premier plaque, which it looks like the Academy Awards. It's gold and black and really nice. 20 by 20, $395.
Oh, my God.
And we are eligible for four of those because we got nominated four times.
Well, can't I just have one and then have them put 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020 on it? And then leave room for 2021 and 2022? Back row. You guys into these plaques? Yes, McLovin.
I'm into it, but is there some sort of group discount for 4 years? I think there's got to be something going on here.
Yeah.
Some kind of deal. Is there a coupon we can have for this? If you do four at $195, that's $800.
Yeah, Todd.
I'd like to focus on the positive. I'm kind of with Seton there. There's something to be said. That's quite an accomplishment. 4 years in a row. Hopefully, we'll continue that streak, even though I know there's the reminder that we didn't actually win the Emmy.
I don't want something to remind us of what was painful, that we didn't win the Sports Emmy. Like, they don't give a runner-up Super Bowl trophy, do they?
I think there's like an AFC.
And if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you get the AFC championship.
That's like the Emmy nomination trophy, the AFC title.
Yeah, but I don't want that. Like at Wimbledon, you know, when you don't win and then you get the little cup or something.
Yeah, you get a cup.
You get a little cup. Yeah, see.
So... recently, like I used to think that way too, like second place is the first loser kind of thing, which I think now that I'm getting a little older, I don't really think that way so much because my son was recently in a soccer tournament and they finished second place. They lost in the finals and you get a first place trophy, which is the big one. And then you get a little medal for being in the second place. And he was like, all right, well, I guess we'll go get our losers medals.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, dude, that sounds terrible. Like, you sound like such a jerk saying that.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I'm that jerk. Because the participatory trophy, I had a room full of trophies for my kids. They didn't win one championship. Not one.
But I think that's different.
I mean, it looked like Michael Phelps' bedroom. All of these trophies, and then they didn't win anything.
But I think a participation trophy is different. That just means you show up and you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you guys want, this is your Christmas gift. Do you guys want,
is there another option, like a sweater? I mean, like, what are the options? Like a plaque, or we're going to get me a sweater? A nice pair of boots?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point. I'm just saying, if you guys want this to be your Christmas gift, then I'll pony up for the plaque.
Can I buy my own plaque and then you get me a different gift? Well, you get better gifts than this plaque. No offense, Emmys.
But I was going to get you a bottle of bourbon. So
I would love that. I can look at my loser's plaque and get drunk.
And drink. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I think you should put it to all of us. Cash or the plaque. Okay. That'll tell a lot about the four Danettes, what they take.
All right. Who wants cash? Who wants the plaque? Fritzy?
I would say the plaque.
Okay.
I just think it's kind of special.
McLovin?
I'm leaning plaque, but I want time to decide because this is a huge decision for me.
Seton, you're going to go with the cash?
No, I don't want cash. Like if you're going to get like another watch or something. One year you gave us watches, and I was like, dang, that was dope. That's just awesome.
That watch was sick.
It was like engraved and stuff.
Yeah.
That was baller. No, I'll take the plaque.
Paulie, you want cash or you want the plaque?
I would go, not cash, but gift. I would go gift of your choice over the plaque. I'm holding out for the trophy. I would rather have nothing on the wall than and wait for the trophy.
All right. Welcome to the program. Obviously, already in progress. We will check in on Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons coming up in about 10 minutes from now, because there's a little sticker shock to them not playing this year, holding out. Certainly Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons just realized, wait, I'm losing how much money? And then Kyrie is maybe not getting vaccinated, what it's going to cost him. And they're trying to move their training camp outside of New York so he's able to participate. But if I'm the Nets, am I going to accommodate Kyrie Irving? We'll talk to Chris Mannix about this situation coming up. 877-3DP show. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We dissected the Red Sox advancing, beating the Yankees last night. Not sure the future of Aaron Boone, but I would say probably tenuous at best. 49ers, it appears that they're going to go with Trey Lance, although I'm hearing mixed reports that maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is still going to be able to play this weekend. We talked a little bit about Urban Meyer. We'll have more on that coming up. The Cowboys have cut Jalen Smith, who was their defensive captain, last week. And the Patriots reportedly are going to release Stephon Gilmore. Those are some of the headlines here. It may not be fair, but the sports world's ethical standards are intertwined with success on the field. I mean, that plain and simple. Players and coaches aren't judged solely on their behavior. Their ability to help the team win, that seems to be front and center. Always comes into play. Owners and universities weigh all sorts of factors. You got public relations, you got business concerns, and of course, ability, bottom line, winning. The Jags are supporting Urban Meyer right now after he was caught acting in an inappropriate way on a video. We'll see how they handle the avalanche of negative press, because that does factor in. Owners, presidents, chancellors, they always factor that in. What's the public saying? What's the media saying? You're going to watch this team a lot closer. You know, the Jags are now must-see TV, it feels like, just to watch the coach on the sidelines. Sports may feel like recreation, but this is business. It's entertainment, but sometimes it's entertaining in different ways. Ultimately, Urban Meyer's fate will be determined by a lot more than the owner, Shad Khan's moral standards. You know, you can say, hey, you know, very disappointed, inexcusable behavior by your head coach. If you're 4-0, is it inexcusable? It might be just, I made a mistake in judgment, whatever it might be. It's open season on Urban Meyer right now. He brought this on himself, but he did have this to say on his weekly radio show last night, where he seemed to put the blame, or at least moving on, elsewhere.
Urban, with this distraction, trying to get the team refocused on a game in Tennessee, the players are going to get questions throughout the week, I'm sure. How do you attempt to kind of focus away from the distraction to get a team ready to play a football game?
I don't believe that's in my court. We're going to do the best, but you know this, Jeff, as well as anyone, that the leaders on our team are going to make that decision. It depends how much trust you have built up with them, how we structure everything this week and focus on winning that game. I'm going to be as extremely clear as I can. Our staff is working their tails off. The ownership of this team is with the players.
Okay. This shouldn't be on the players. You got two home games, I believe, Titans, Dolphins. Even if you feel that way, Urban Meyer, you got to take ownership of everything. The players have enough. They have to go out there and execute. They have to be able to play. There's a game plan. It can't be, hey, you guys got to get past this distraction that I created. Urban, I mean, those aren't the best words to use. Urban also had this to say about the locker room.
The locker room has been my entire life. That's all I've ever looked at. When I was a young coach, I said, you know, when I'd hear conversations among coaching staff, and I would always say, you know, there's only one thing that matters in this whole facility organization, and that's the locker room. You know, how we build it, how we treat it, how we earn their trust. That goes back to the culture of excellence, I call it around here, is how do we make sure we give them everything possible? When I hear our players would have to go out and get sports performance, and you know, we should do this all right here for them. But we've earned their trust in that respect. I know that for a fact. The fact that I became a distraction, I've got to earn their trust back from that.
Okay. He's right. How do you earn that trust back? Team wins? I mean, do the players care about this? I mean, are they laughing about it? I mean, I don't know if a 25-year-old player is bothered by this. Hey, coach was out at a bar. Saw the video. They might go, all right, what's the big deal? Who cares? If you're 25, you may not care. Yes, Eden.
But the problem is, how does Urban Meyer say to that 25-year-old, hey, when you leave this facility, you make sure you behave yourself so you don't embarrass the organization?
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Okay, coach.
Yeah. You know, how do you discipline somebody? Yes, Todd.
The other thing is, are they laughing at the situation? From what you read, it sounds like they're laughing at the guys. Right?
Yeah.
It could be a long way from getting, you know, he's talking about the importance of the locker room and getting players' respect, but behind his back, they're laughing at him and not taking him seriously. They look like they're going in a very bad direction.
Yeah, that was the thread yesterday that Michael Silver, who will join us coming up next hour, he said that one player, we looked at him like, what the bleep? Right when he left, everyone started dying laughing, and he knew it. That's not laughing with you. That's laughing at you. Michael Silver will have more on the Jags locker room situation here as they move forward. Yes, Paul.
When I look at this, I'm so far past the Jaguars already. I think his fate is sealed at the end of the season when they're 2-15. I'm curious how his credibility as a football coach in college when he goes for that next job, because nobody wants to end this way. Everyone goes, Spurrier went back to college. Everyone's going to go back to college. Is he? Can he get the top job, or does he have to go down a notch now where it's like...
But who brings baggage back to college? And if you're around a 24-year-old woman in a bar and there's video and now you're going to put him on campus, if you're the president or a chancellor, man, that's hard. That's a hard sell.
It is, but I can... You know,
as great as he is...
That's the greatest he is.
Yes.
You could sell that to the boosters.
I don't know. I mean, that took him out of the running at USC. Prior to this, you know, just they didn't want to deal with some of the stuff that Urban was involved in. When you win, it's like Bob Knight at Indiana. They put up with a lot there. He was winning. The way he treated his players, treated the media, like, hey, that's our coach. We're all in on him. And then all of a sudden, one thing happened, and then they turned on him. And then everybody, you know, if Indiana was like, hey, it's open season on Coach Knight. Let's get rid of him. And that's what happened. I don't know if you can bring Urban back to the college, like a marquee job.
That's kind of what I'm saying. He may not be able to get a top job, but like throw out a SEC team like Missouri.
How about this? What about LSU?
It's not silly.
Coach O is on thin ice, and it has not worked out since they won a national championship. And from what I'm hearing, he may not get another year. I have some more information about that situation. Arch Manning, and the college football playoff. I'll have that for you after we talk to Chris Mannix. Get to your phone calls as well. We'll take a break here. Poll question, McLovin, in the first hour is?
I followed up on the debate, best baseball stadium in the country. Number one, Fenway. Number two, Wrigley. Number three, Pittsburgh. Mm. Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
Switch it up. I have some football options coming up.
All right. We'll take a break. 16 after the hour, we'll dive into the Kyrie Irving situation. Is he tradable? Ben Simmons, is he going to be traded? Does he realize how much this is going to cost him? Mannix has the numbers on what it's going to cost for Kyrie Irving, what he stands to lose financially for every missed home game. Have that for you coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. RockAuto.com. Man, there are times when I just go to RockAuto.com and I just kind of browse to see what's available there. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. And I got some older cars. I got the 1953 Chevy pickup, five-window Chevy pickup.
Gorgeous.
Yes. And there's always little things that you're going, you know, is there an ashtray? You know, it could be some kind of chrome. It could be a lot of different things that you're looking for. And that's the first place I go, rockauto.com. This is a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. Want to give you direct access to all the information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices. Don't waste time and money hunting for parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You don't need to. Go to rockauto.com. They're there for you 24/7. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we listen to the show. And all the parts your car, truck, wherever need, rockauto.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. You didn't ask for it, but you got it. DanPatrick.com, Fritzy's all-time Halloween name t-shirt. Truly scary. DanPatrick.com. Also, some other great items there. I think we have a few tailgate bundles still left. Get the opportunity to go there and scoop that up. We'll talk to Chris Mannix. He'll talk about what's going on with the Nets, with Kyrie Irving, also Ben Simmons. And I like how the GMs had this poll with who's going to be the MVP, who's going to be the most improved. The Brooklyn Nets are overwhelming favorites to win the championship this year. But the Lakers were overwhelming favorites to win the championship last year. So we'll talk to Mannix coming up, your phone calls as well. Have some college football information. The college football playoff format is going to be voted on in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be 12 teams. So I don't think there's any other option. I asked if it was 8 or 16, and I was told from my source that it would be, source says, was told the college football playoff model will be 12 teams. And I said, when are they voting? And I was told later this fall. Also talked about Urban Meyer. You know, my source says, you know, obviously zero chance at USC. LSU has to hire someone who can get into the Arch Manning sweepstakes, and that person is not Ed Orgeron. And I followed up with my source. I said, do you think LSU will fire Ed O to hire someone who can recruit Arch Manning? And my source said, yes. There's a ton of issues at LSU off the field. They aren't playing well. Offensive coaches that are hired aren't getting it done. And then my source said, you guys want to guess who the front runners for Arch Manning are, according to my source? Paulie?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, no.
Oh.
McLovin?
Alabama?
Alabama is the front runner.
They're the front runner?
Yes. And then one team needs a little boost here as of late. And another team that might surprise you, although their head coach, offensive-minded head coach, and a lot of boosters there at this university. Yes, McLovin.
Texas?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. They're back. They're back just by having this rumor.
Yes.
You said boosters. That was the
yes.
good key.
Clemson is the other team.
Hot.
Yeah. So Alabama. So my source says, I think Alabama's the front runner with Clemson and Texas close behind. LSU has to get into the mix. I don't know if, you know, once again, my source is not saying that they're going to fire Ed O and they're going to bring in Urban Meyer. But LSU has got to get back on to, you know, the landscape here because they've fallen off. And that's a pretty far fall for them. Yeah, Paul.
If you take away the Joe Burrow year and the coach, Brady, that the offensive passing coach they had there at LSU.
Yeah.
They've had a tough time with quarterbacks in the past 20 years. At LSU.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing. Do they usually get the top quarterback? I'm surprised that that's even, you know, Zach Mettenberger. I don't know.
No, they don't. That would always be the case when you'd go, gosh, LSU's got so much talent and they don't have any good quarterbacks there. That was Alabama for a long time. They're like, God, they got great players. They don't have a great quarterback. Then all of a sudden they go, you know, let's go after the great quarterbacks. Yeah, Seton.
But how are you able to tell if they're just bad at recruiting quarterbacks or they're bad with the quarterbacks they recruit?
Well, those quarterbacks haven't done anything when they left LSU to get drafted.
Yeah, but they probably spent 3 years with a crappy with LSU, not really teaching them anything or helping them out.
I don't know. There are certain guys who are really talented who could overcome even crappy coaching staffs. Yes, McLovin.
Sorry if you mentioned it, but Tennessee was not in that picture with Peyton.
Not from what I was told. So Ole Miss and Tennessee, which is where Peyton and Eli went, and then even Archie Manning, who he's named after, went to Ole Miss. But that's what I'm told. Yeah. So if Urban Meyer goes back to the college ranks, would LSU be a landing spot? This, speculation, but this is from my reliable source, and we're going to have 12-team playoffs format. That'll be voted on. Bring in Chris Mannix here. We got a lot of NBA stuff happening, but it's happening off the floor here. Let me start with the Nets with Kyrie Irving. And let's assume that he continues this stance. He's not getting vaccinated. What's going to happen? Is he tradable, Chris?
He is largely untradable, I would say. I don't think anybody is completely untradable, but the teams I talk to around the league about Kyrie's trade value are essentially operating under the assumption that if you trade for him, there's a decent chance he'll just retire and decide he doesn't want to play anymore. As a player, there are lots of teams that would love to get their hands on him. He has a relatively reasonable contract with only 1 year left on it. He can opt out after next season. But the off-the-court stuff and the uncertainty surrounding what he wants, that makes it him very, very difficult to trade.
What is this costing him financially, or what could it cost him?
Well, my understanding is that I don't know what if anything, the Nets are dinging him for missed practices this week. I don't know if they're doing anything. You know, he's not breaking their rule. He's breaking the city ordinance or the executive order, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know if they're dinging him anything. But my understanding is that if he misses, I believe it's Friday's preseason game in Brooklyn, it's around $380,000 and will be $380,000 every time he misses a game. And the NBA has been very clear. If players miss games because of these city ordinances, they are going to get fined. They will not be paid, you know, effectively game checks as a result of it. That is, in his own words, exactly why Andrew Wiggins decided to get vaccinated this week. He didn't want to lose all that money. So if Kyrie decides to sit out, the big ding comes when that first game happens on Friday.
And if he can't play these home games, he also can't play, although it'd be one trip to San Francisco, he can't play, he's not going to play in the games against the Knicks because that would have the same ordinance implemented.
But it's not applicable, I don't think, in San Francisco. I think there's an exemption for road players coming in. So that game, I believe, he could play in. But he could not play in Madison Square Garden under these these current rules. It's look, the Nets, they have been just hoping, and I think it's basically crossing their fingers, that Kyrie would come around to the vaccine. That's why they have done everything possible, going back to Sean Marks' media availability about 3 weeks ago, to defuse the situation. They have been hoping that the threat of losing money, which is not the Nets saying we'll take away money, it's the NBA and the city, and the presence of Kevin Durant, his close friend, James Harden, a fellow superstar, would convince Kyrie to get the vaccine. To this point, and I've checked in with Nets people almost every day trying to get a grasp of this, to this point, that hasn't happened. And as ESPN reported last night, and they're right, the optimism is kind of waning here that Kyrie is going to get vaccinated by Friday. And that puts the Nets in a very weird situation, because not only, Dan, can Kyrie not play in these games, he clearly can't practice. And Steve Nash said yesterday he has no intention of, like, moving the Nets practices back to Jersey or wherever they used to practice in near the Meadowlands. They have a state-of-the-art facility in Brooklyn, this built a few years ago. They're not doing that for Kyrie Irving. So this presents really, I mean, we use kind of phrases like this a lot, but an unprecedented situation evolving between Kyrie Irving and the Nets.
Look, if he feels this strongly about it and doesn't want to play, and, you know, he's going to retire and he wants to sit out the season, then fine. I mean, I understand it if he feels strongly about it. I just don't want this to be a, notice me, and I'm quirky, I'm interesting, and all right, I'm going to get the vaccine. You know, it feels like that's where we're headed with Kyrie. As far as Ben Simmons, Ben is just sitting there, has his trade demand, and all of a sudden he looks up and goes, wait a minute, I'm losing how much money? What kind of reaction is going on around the league with Ben Simmons?
Well, the question team executives say to me isn't the Sixers' resolve they're wondering about right now, because the Sixers have not moved off their position that to obtain Ben Simmons, you've got to give up a lot. You've got to give us either a player, the equivalent of Ben Simmons, or multiple players that would add up to the value of Ben Simmons. That has not changed over the last couple of weeks as this, you know, the sit out by Ben Simmons has happened. And the Sixers' position, and I get it, is that there's a lot of volatility at the top of the NBA right now. I mean, we don't know how Portland's season is going to start and what the Blazers' mindset might be in December about Damian Lillard and or CJ McCollum. We also don't know if the Wizards come out of the gate slow with Bradley Beal able to opt out at the end of the season. Will they decide now is the time to deal Beal? So it doesn't make any sense for Philadelphia to deal Simmons right now. The Simmons side, though, like, they've been told expressly that these checks, they ain't getting that money back. Like, that's not something like a team that trades for him can back pay him. This is gone. Like, the money he lost in that Toronto game on Monday, $360,000, that's gone. I don't know what the Sixers have been dinging him every single day, but that's gone. That's why the Sixers did a pretty shrewd thing when they put that money into escrow. I mean, I kind of described it in the column that it was basically a piggy bank that they could dig into whenever they wanted to, and up until about $8.25 million, and that's what they're going to do over the next month or so. If Ben Simmons sits out till mid-November, he'll lose like $7.5 million out of that money. So I think the question that comes up, I know the question that comes up amongst people around the league, is just how resolved is Ben Simmons to lose that kind of money? You can say, well, he made $57 million in his career on court. He's made more off the court. It doesn't matter. Like, that's millions of dollars that is gone. And I think people are wondering just how long Simmons will be okay with that.
I still don't understand this. Ben Simmons plays poorly. He's mad that people expect him to play great since he's one of the top-end players. We keep hearing he's an all-star and he's a defensive player of the year. All of these great things. And then he gets sensitive and he wants to be traded. So what am I missing here with Ben? Like, are there bad people here on the other side with Ben? And I know Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers said what they said, but all right, maybe they were being honest, tough thing to hear. But, you know, why doesn't Ben Simmons put on his big boy pants and say, you know what, I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to earn your trust again, instead of saying, I want out, trade me.
Well, Simmons' position is that the Sixers don't want him back because they want to continue building on the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris group. They want him back to see him play well over a couple of months, get his trade value back up, and then deal him away. Ben Simmons just isn't down with that. I mean, all that being said, he's still getting paid. Like, this is your job. You signed this contract. You didn't have to sign a long-term deal with Philadelphia a couple of years ago. You chose to. And because of that, you have to show up regardless of what the 76ers ultimately want to do with you. And I agree with you that, you know, this is not like Philadelphia committed some kind of cardinal sin against him. Doc Rivers said something he most certainly regrets right now. Joel Embiid just says anything, and some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth is definitely critical of Ben Simmons. But who cares? I mean, if that's the worst thing the 76ers have done to you, lots of other players have experienced a lot worse, including Joel Embiid early during the process. So, I mean, Simmons doesn't want to come back because he thinks that if he plays well by mid-December or February at the latest, he's gone. But that's the price of signing that contract and being paid like a max player.
All right, your yearly Laker prediction, title, disaster, something in between.
This gets clipped and I wind up. This is like, you know, it's like the low-hanging fruit to pick against the Lakers this year because I don't know how it works. And a lot of people, most of the people I talk to around the league don't really know how it works. I mean, the Lakers, assuming Anthony Davis buys into playing center, they could be really good. I mean, Davis at the five, LeBron at the four, two shooters around Westbrook. I can see how that works. I can also see how Westbrook's presence makes them an elite regular season team because Westbrook has proven he can win regular season games basically on his own. So you can rest LeBron, rest AD. If injuries come up, you've got a player that can win games. But when you get into the playoffs, Westbrook is a career 30% three-point shooter. Like, he's at 31% last season. You can't really get around that. And he's been at his best when he has the ball in his hands. In the playoffs, you want the ball in LeBron James' hands. You want the ball at times in Anthony Davis' hands. You don't want the ball in Russell Westbrook's hands because that, not since the days of Oklahoma City, has that proven to be an effective strategy in the postseason. So there are lots of reasons to bet against the Lakers this year.
Okay. So that's the quote we're going to pull.
I don't know. No, Lakers in the finals. I'm going with that. Lakers in the finals. If we're wrong, everybody else is wrong too. Like I've eaten that Lakers going to miss the playoffs quote video for like three years now. Like every time it comes up, it'll come up. So I'm going to clip it today. Like, why would you ask Chris Mannix about the Lakers? Here's what he said. And like that comes up every single year when the discussion turns to the Lakers.
Here's one of our favorites from Chris Mannix.
I think, first of all, Spain is stacked. I mean, they're a team with, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out Pau Gasol on a great career. Hall of Fame is next, based largely on your career with the Spanish national team.
All right, here's one more.
Blazers, Sixers in the finals.
Okay. That's unedited.
I reject the idea that we just randomly pull quotes from Mannix and then replay them endlessly. Great offense to that.
Yes, McLovin.
Was that from 1977 or what year was
that?
Yeah,
when Bill Walton was there, they faced Dr. J. That's a great call. Great call,
Mike. Wasn't there like a preamble to that Blazers Sixers?
No, we
quote?
Cut that
Didn't
out.
You like ask me of like a bold prediction of some kind?
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
You got it, Dan.
That's the great Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Oh, does Ben Simmons get traded? Remember, I always go back to when Joel Embiid had a tweet and he was talking about Ben Simmons and wanted him back. And I went, this is a desperate, desperate ploy by management to say something nice about Ben, okay? And Doc Rivers having his press conference and saying, I guess we took it out of context, that he didn't know if he could win a championship. No, Doc doesn't know if he can win a championship. I mean, that's the honest, that's the truth. And Joel Embiid doesn't want him back. Doc doesn't want him back. But you can't say that because you diminish his trade value. Boy, you want us to take him, but you don't want him? It's like Kyrie Irving. All right, wait, why am I trading for Kyrie Irving? He's not going to be able to play when we play against the... You'd have to trade him to the West. where he's only going to play, you know, in Brooklyn once and in with the Knicks once. This doesn't make sense. I don't want Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie, the player, is wonderful. Hall of Famer. It's just you have to deal with everything else with Kyrie. And that's, it feels like daily. We'll take a break. Against the Grain is coming up. Do you have a topic here, McLean?
Yes. So it's a game. You have to guess, is this NFL headline from this week or last year?
All right. And your phone calls in the On Deck Circle as well. More on Urban Meyer coming up next hour. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next hour, Michael Silver will join us. He had some quotes yesterday from some Jacksonville players, anonymous quotes. We'll see where we're headed with this Urban Meyer situation. Your phone calls, get to those coming up here shortly. McLovin has an Against the Grain. Do you want to give us an idea what that's about?
Okay, I'm going to read a headline / storyline. You have to tell me if it's from this season or last season.
No, Fritzy just sent me his... These are Halloween names. This is 2012.
They hold up nicely.
They were never good to begin with, is another way to look at it.
I mean, John Skelton? I mean, nobody remembers John Skelton.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I think it's really important for people to understand about these lists of holiday names is that not only has Todd been doing it for 14 years while we've been doing this show, he did it for years and years and years back at ESPN. Before he was even on the air, he would send out this list and then just be like, what? I just think we could have some fun with it.
It's true.
So he's been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Is it too far back to go Evel Knievel? People know it. Is that still... No. Is that not our demographic? They know the guy that
But Hal Mummy, the former Kentucky coach, is not tripping off your tongue.
That's a little tricky. And then, you know, if you do like Washington Post writer Mark Maskey, or, you know, that's...
No,
that's a stretch. I know. Once in a while, I put in like, you know, a public relations director or something.
Just desperate.
You see, you're going hyper-local, though. You're serving our affiliates. It's great, Todd. There's a PD somewhere who's like, yes, Maskey.
All right. All right. McLovin Against the Grain. Let's hit the music.
Okay, you have to guess if this headline is from this year or last year. Time to add Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray to the MVP picture.
That was last year.
Paul?
Both years. Trick question.
Actually, it's last year. Okay. This is...
But it is both.
It's definitely both. Okay. From USA Today.
Okay.
After he threw that Hail Mary against the Bills, improved to 6-3, and he had an MVP headline. They lost 5 out of the next 7. Just a reminder, as we brought up the other day.
Okay.
Okay. Is this from this year or last year? Tom Brady's struggle signaled the end is near. Tom Brady was yet again struggling to throw the deep ball and is having trouble dealing with pressure up the middle. This year or last year?
That's like 2015, I think, isn't it?
This is 2020 after they lost to the Rams in prime time.
Oh, okay.
And he really struggled. They won 8 of their next 9 games, including the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
See where I'm going here. Okay, this one, I guarantee you will not get this one. Jimmy Garoppolo is questionable for early season game. Is that this year, last year, 2018, or 2016, or D, all of the
all
above?
All of the above.
Yep. He 2020, week 2, he had a high ankle sprain. Eventually sat out the season. 2018, he tore his ACL in week 3. 2016, in week 3, he sprained his shoulder.
Mm.
Now, I don't even know what he's dealing with now, but it's serious. Oh, you're going to like this one.
Oh, by the way, did you hear what Mike Tomlin had to say about Ben Roethlisberger? He was talking about that what he needs to improve upon, and he starts out by saying he can't improve upon his mobility.
Everything except mobility. I don't have an answer for that, you know, or lack thereof, man. Ben used to be able to run really good when he was young. Those days are behind him. Other than that, I don't see much that's not a discussion in terms of technical alterations or quality of play that can be improved.
All righty. Nothing to see here. Yes, Todd?
Is there a compliment in there? A backhand? Like, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. He used to have mobility.
Everything's fine with him, but he can't get out of the way of anybody that's
back
anyone near
to
him.
Against the grain.
Okay. Is Kirk Cousins making a case for another extension? Is that from 2019, 2021, or before?
I'll go 2019.
You're not going to believe it. This is from a Vikings fan website from this week.
Oh, this week. Okay.
Yeah, he's top 10 in yards,
of
top 10 in passer rating.
Of course he is.
9 TDs, 1 interception, 70% completion almost.
Yeah.
They're 1-3.
You
know. But there's already call for another 2-year extension. The last one, should the Falcons move on from Matt Ryan? Is that this year or last year?
Last year.
It's last year because no one's even questioning that now. I don't know if you saw it. Like, there's no, what's the future with Atlanta, Matt Ryan?
I don't know. You know, I started to think about this. Jimmy Garoppolo is sort of in no man's land. They've already committed to the future. He's injured. Don't know if he's going to play. But if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, there's two places I start to think about maybe I could land. Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Because he's not going to be a starter. His next job, he won't be a starter. Do you go to a place where you can be, you back up Brady again? He's not old. He's not young. He's sort of in the, you know, no man's land there. But, you know, with Matt Ryan, would that be somebody to have as your backup quarterback since they didn't go all in on a quarterback this past draft? Yeah, Paul.
Isn't there a cap on handsomeness at the quarterback position?
Wow.
He couldn't play for Tampa. That would violate the cap.
Not anymore.
Especially if Blaine Gabbert's still on the roster. Ooh. Because, I mean, yeah. He might not be able to throw great.
What else do you have?
That was the last one.
All righty.
But, by the way, Jimmy G to Tampa Bay or Atlanta, that's a juicy
grain.
One.
Now, against the grain, for autographed cards, memorabilia, rare inserts, rookie cards, there's something for everyone in Panini America packs. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Yeah, Paulie.
My daughter is into cards. And she takes the Panini cards, and you know what she does with them? She quizzes herself on the player. So she just shows herself the name because she's really into the NFL. So she put, like, the other day it was Nick Bosa. And so she covered it up, and so you just see his name. She goes, Nick Bosa. She goes, defensive end, 49ers. And then she turns it over to see what it is. And she's having fun with it. It's kind of, it reminds me of, like, exactly the stuff we used to do. And she, like, lines them up by defensive position.
Doug in North Carolina joins us on the program. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Well, Dan is an NFL fan. I wanted to vent for a second and see if you agree with me.
Okay.
You were making a joke earlier that Tom Brady's already on the phone with Stephon Gilmore. And everything going on in Tampa reminds me of LeBron when he went to Miami and the building of these super teams. Tom's already recruited Gronk. He's recruited Brown. He's recruited Sherman. And it bothers me. It just feels like this is taking something away from the NFL, and I just wanted to get your guys' opinions about that.
Yeah, but if you're Tom, you want to build a team, and if the previous team doesn't want these players, then who do you begrudge?
Well, I'm a bitter man, Dan. I begrudge everybody. It just feels like it's taking, I don't know, it's like I want to see an organization build up from, you know, the ground floor and not just pulling people away from other places. I don't know. It just bothers me.
All right. Well, hang in there, Doug. Yes, Eden.
My neighbor said something interesting the other day that's in that sort of same vein where he thinks football teams should only be able to get players from their region.
Well, that used to be, you'd had a territorial draft
right.
In basketball.
He wants to go back to that kind of thing where if you can only get people, if you're from Minnesota, Vikings players are only coming from that area.
Hmm. Well, that's what happened with Oscar Robertson. He ended up with the Cincinnati Royals because he played at the University of Cincinnati. Imagine Sandy Koufax would have been with the Reds. He went to the University of Cincinnati. Final hour coming up.